Have you discovered your lifetime career that you enjoy and excel in? Do you say that your career right now is the best career that you would have and you want to have it in your lifetime? Now, once upon a time, there were three students. They were advised which career they should take, and the advisor asked one of the students, "So what's your favorite subject or favorite course that you excel in school?" And the student said, "Well, I like math. I'm very good at math." And the advisor said, "Well, pursue a career in engineering or accounting. How about you?" He asked the next student. "Well, I like chatting. I like updating my social media, and pursue journalism, or you might want to be start a business because you are good at entertaining people." And the other student asked, "How about me? Well, what are you good at?" The advisor asked, "Well, I'm not good at in school. I'm not good in technology, but I'm good in fishing." Well, you may want to be a fisherman, career fisherman, or you may want to enroll in the seminary and be a pastor and fish for soul. The answer came. Have you ever had that experience in your high school? Some schools have this high school prophecy. They say, when you graduate in high school, the school would give you a prophecy. They think that you may become one. It's kind of like weird, but it's also fun. And for me, the prophecy given me, they say, because I was the better person in math in my high school years, they say, "Oh, you might want to pursue engineering." Indeed, I enrolled in engineering, but I didn't finish engineering. But well, most often, if you ask for advice on which career you should pursue, you will hear people asking, "What's your favorite subject? What's the course you enjoy in school? What course? What subject you excel in school? What you passionately do without complaint, without grumbling?" His best lifetime career you may excel and enjoy. So if you are into computer, you love computer, think something, pray for something that you may have a career pertaining to computer. If you love just fishing, well, pray about it. It's hard to fish during winter. Do you believe that the Lord has uniquely wired you or created you to excel and succeed? Who says yes? May God enable you to excel. May God give you that stronger faith to believe and see which career path you may follow so that you may excel and succeed. Do you believe that God had designed the best lifetime career? Lifetime, not just once in a while career. Lifetime career for you to excel and enjoy and even do not think about retiring. Do you believe that? Think about that. If you cannot believe that, pray for stronger faith. Pray for stronger faith. Many of you, if you go to work, if you are complaining, if you are grumbling about the treatment you have in your workplaces, pray that God would lead you to that right career where you would enjoy. If you cannot enjoy your career, if you cannot enjoy your job, That is not the abundant life. That is not the life in life in its fullness that the Lord Jesus had promised to those who believe in him. It has been declared in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Let's read this together meditatively. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What do you understand personally about being God's handiwork? Are you something that God's project? By his grace, God saved us for good work purposes, not just for salvation's sake. He has a particular plan for each of us. Jesus declared, I come that you may have life abundantly, or life in its fullness. He came for all believers to have abundant life, life in its fullness. And by faith, we trust him. We trust that the Lord says absolute truth. If it is really true, then by faith we believe God saved us from the penalty of sin. Does he save us from the consequential effect of failure, failures of not experiencing that fullness of life, that abundant life? Failure is part of life. Failure is very essential, significant factor toward excellence. No one had excelled that says, I didn't have any failure. Nobody. If you are watching basketball, you might have heard Michael Jordan said, I had missed a lot of shots, but I keep on. And this is why they say that he is the best basketball player. He did not deny that he did not miss, because it's a reality. People saw him miss shots. He was not able to get all the basket that he had, he wanted. You want to excel like him? God can help us overcome failures, because excellence starts with the excellent God. Can you believe that? Then pray for stronger faith. All believers, we are unfinished project of the Lord. We are unfinished handiwork of God. Do you believe that? You are not yet finished. You are not yet complete. You are not yet perfect project of the Lord. God save us through faith in Christ Jesus for godly purposes. Have you discovered that godly purposes of God for you? The scripture, this is our blueprint. This is our manual to accomplish the mission purposes that God had planned for us. If you pray for specifics, be sure that you listen carefully. The Lord would not say, Lorenzo, you will be a pastor. No, he didn't say that to me. He just gave me the desire to know him more. When I enrolled in the seminary, my first desire was to become a missionary. I want to become a missionary because I want to travel. Maybe international missionary so that I can travel the world. That was my selfish desire. Indeed, we did. We went. But we end up here. If you haven't discovered your mission purposes just yet, do not just speculate. Maybe this one, maybe this other one. Don't pray that God would lead you step by step. He would lead you. How do you know that this step, this decision is the step you should take? Sense the Holy Spirit in your heart. You would sense peaceful joy peaceful gladness, joyful peace in your heart when you decide. Even if others would say, I don't think that is the right decision that you should make. You would love that because there is that enthusiasm for you to do it. Enthusiasm, remember that word. Entheos, meaning with God, possessed by God. Entheos comes from the Greek word entheos, possessed by God. If you are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, then you would decide with enthusiasm. So if you decide napipilitan or you are just forced to do so, that is not the Holy Spirit leading you. You wait for that peaceful joy or joyful peace, if you would. Let's read again verse 13 and 14. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this and that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Personally, ask yourself, what is my mission purposes as believer? Ask the Lord about that. What is my mission purposes? You were not saved just for salvation's sake. You were saved because God wants you to find that mission purposes He had for you, so that your heart will overflow with praise and thankfulness and testify to the world, this happened to me because of the Lord. And others will come to know because of your testimony. Does your mission purposes as a believer relate to your business plan, personal plan? What is your business plan? What's your personal plan? We can enjoy and excel in the mission purposes God had planned for us. If God had planned it, He planned it for you to excel. He planned it for you to succeed. Can you agree with that? So don't speculate. Follow Christ's leading. Follow the Lord. You heard the song, Shepherd? My life is better. I like it better when I am following you. About that, I'm not very good at singing, but you heard that song, right? You like it? Christ is our good shepherd. We are His sheep. As good shepherd, Christ situates us where we experience much of His grace for us to be refreshed. If you are a good shepherd, would you bring the sheep to a pasture where they would starve or get thirst? You don't. The Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. So ask, pray, seek to be filled by His Holy Spirit. Why? The Holy Spirit of Christ help us discern and accomplish with gladness our mission purposes. Again, don't force yourself. Wait. Pray until you sense that enthusiasm and you would follow, decide, and follow the career path God had designed for you from eternity, from the beginning. Even before you were not yet been born or conceived, God had already planned for your success and excellence. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? If not, then pray, Lord, I cannot believe that you have already planned for me even before I was conceived. Expert advice, the advice, set personal goal, set business goal. This is what you do. Now, that's very promising, but how sure are you? If speculated goals would progress or would fail, how do you know that? We don't control the future. God does. God controls the future. But outside the will of God, such a speculated result is just entertaining diversion of reality. Just like what I shared a while back, that prophecy in high school was made us smile. They prophesied about our future. What do they know? No, it's just for fun. Similar with setting goals, similar with business goals. I'm not saying that you would not set goals, but pray about it. Pray about it that the goal you would do comes from the Lord. Not just because this is your goal and this my 3-year goal, my 5-year goal, my 15-year goal, and just write it down as if it is a reality that would happen in the future because others are doing it, business owners are doing it, advisors are telling it. It's nice, it's fun, but it's not a reality. Absolute, it's not absolute reality. Outside the will of God, speculated result is just entertaining diversion of reality. Do you think that God had designed a career for you to excel? If you believe that, are you praying for it? For you who are still in college or about to graduate in high school, are you praying which degree you pursue in college? How do you know that you would excel in that degree? Are you praying for a change in your career? Do you sense that the thing that you are doing, you do it because of the bills, because you need to pay those bills, monthly bills? Is that the life you want to live, just paying for bills? Did God say, yeah, I'll live a life and pay your bills and that's it? That's the life you are to have in this earth. That is not the kind of life that the Lord had for us. Are you praying for betterment in your social status? Listen very carefully and attentively. Listen, continually pray sincerely. First, ask the Lord to be filled with the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom, meaning you have that understanding. Revelation from God, He would reveal. You would understand that revelation from God. Pray for wisdom and revelation. Pray for a stronger faith to believe that the revelation of God is that career path, even if it seems like it's foolish for other people, but you have that enthusiasm. Pray for godly wisdom and understanding. That's the spirit of wisdom. It helps you to understand. You understand that revelation that comes from Him. When God grants you stronger faith, when God grants you wisdom and revelation, you will surely know it. You will surely know it because the Lord will help you be affirmed that decision comes from Him. You have that peace. You have that joy, gladness in your heart, so that even if relatives, friends would say, no, you should not do that, you should not do that, you would decide firmly because you are confident that the Lord would lead you to the right situation that He wants you to excel. I heard those discouragement before. When I resigned from the academy, you should have become something like this or like that. When I quit schooling, engineering, that person do not have any decision in life. And then when I decide to go to the seminary, he should have been like this and like that. Why did he go there? But those who told me those kind of speculation, I look back and assess where they are now, they're still where they are. The time I left those situations, hindi nagbago ang kanilang buhay. Their life had never been changed. Maybe it changed a little, but not that something they may say, I'm enjoying my life. All believers are admonished in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Let's read this together. Let's read. Namely, Christ, in whom all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Memorize that. Return to Colossians. Christ, in whom all are hidden, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What does that mean, all? It means all. I don't know how to explain all. It means even in the beginning, in the future, even when there's no high technology, that wisdom, and even now with high technology, that's the all. It means all. That the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Do you think Christ know how to operate the computer? You must be foolish thinking about that if he doesn't. Do you think the Lord knows how to drive a truck or SUV? Now think about that. The modern things that we have right now, who gave wisdom to those who created it? As we grow our faith in Christ, we also grow in our knowledge of Christ and the godly purposes that he had prepared for us to excel and to enjoy. The secret of knowing the career we can excel, it depends upon our relationship and knowledge of Christ. If we believe that all treasures of wisdom and knowledge is hidden in Christ, then we need to grow closer in our relationship with him. As believers, we can excel in every aspect of life. It's not just limited to successful career, family life. We enjoy life of family life. Many cannot enjoy their family. Many cannot experience eating with family. Do you still eat together as family? Or when you arrive, you eat your food. When the student arrive, they eat their food. When they are eating, you are now watching TV. Is that a family? That should be called family. How about school? Do you enjoy your schooling, students? Are you forced to school because your parents said so? Or because of that desire? Or because you do not want to be embarrassed by the success of your peers? About your career, when you go to work, oh, it's late, I need to go to work. Why do you go to work? Because I need to pay bills. Now I need to go to work. I enjoy my job. Now look for a job you would enjoy, so that you won't be rushing. Instead, you go even before the time, so that you won't be rushing. And I was driving yesterday, watching one SUV, trying to overtake one car after the other. I was hoping he would not get in trouble, because if that car get in trouble, I would be in trouble too, because we are just maybe few meters away. So if you observe those things, pray that they would be safe. You will be safe. How about hobby? What is your hobby? Maybe your hobby is the thing that you just enjoy. Maybe that hobby could become your business. Leisure. Do you enjoy leisure? When you go traveling, do you enjoy traveling? I don't like traveling because I don't enjoy traveling. I am very slow walker. I don't walk that long. I easily get tired. When you travel, you need to walk long walks so that you would enjoy the sceneries, right? If you do not have that strength watching the beauty of Canada, for example, if you travel Canada, you don't enjoy it. You cannot enjoy traveling for a long drive. You cannot enjoy it. What do? Just get in the plane and then get into the hotel and then go home. That's it. You're wasting time, right? How about retirement life? Do you think retirement life is enjoyable? Ask the retirees. Are you enjoying your retirement? Oh no, there's pain in my joints. No, they are not enjoying it. Unless the Lord enabled them to enjoy it. It's not fun to grow old. So as you grow old, keep on working. Maybe you work for 3 hours a day, that's fun enough. At least you would work as you're moving your body. But if you are thinking that I would retire and just sit in front of the television and just watch my favorite Netflix or just playing computer, that's not life. You are dying if you do that. That's death. You're waiting for death. That's not the kind of life that the Lord had planned. Because the Lord declared that with your sweat, you eat your food. Unless you move, you would not be healthy. Sitting there in the corner, in your basement, the basement of your parents, that's not life, friends. It's not. As we grow deeper in our relationship with Christ, we would enjoy every aspect of our life. Christ came for us believers to have fullness of life, right? So if you have not experienced yet that fullness of life, pray for a stronger faith. Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. Even as problems common to mankind persist, it may disturb us, we can still excel with gladness. Nobody in here would say, I don't have problem. So welcome problem as part of life. But in the midst of problem, you can still have gladness in the activity you would do. If you do it very passionately, don't try to push yourself, I need to do this work passionately. No, if you are not passionate with it, you cannot do that. But with enthusiasm from the Lord, you can. So again, be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you have that enthusiasm. As individual believers, we make sure that our faith in Christ is active and strong. Keep on asking, Lord, I'm shaken in faith. My faith is not that strong. How should we intimately develop relationship with Christ? Now, here is a question you can answer. What activity do you normally do to cultivate closer, deeper relationship with your friends, with your siblings, or with your spouse? What do you do? Friends normally hang out for extended time, right? You hang out with them. You share serious things and not so serious matters. You just keep each other's company. You want to be with that company. Or making project, doing something, sharing stories, fishing, go fishing together, go gardening together, go watching basketball together, go shopping together. At least you are with your friend. In the park, go in the park, or taking pictures, or just playing your favorite sport together, or sitting next to the other, telling stories, not boring stories, or even boring stories that you have already heard before. They would keep on repeating, but you just still enjoy listening when that person tells that story that they have been telling for many times. Do you have that? Do you have friends like that who tell stories same again and again, but you still want to hear it? Do you have that? He or she is your friend if you like to listen to that story. At first meeting, you may not feel close together, right? You have a friend, maybe you feel alienated from new acquaintances. You just don't say, oh, I like this person immediately. No, maybe you discover particular activity that you would do together. You want to do together, spend time together with your new acquaintance, even at work, in school, or anywhere, even in the church. If you want your friendship to grow stronger, you spend ample time together. You want to grow in your relationship as husband and wife, spend time together. You want to grow closer to your children, spend time with your children. Maybe one is eating together, watching together, playing together, or mowing the lawn together. How about that? Something you can do, gardening together, baking together. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The church is the body of Christ. Do you believe that? The time we spend with fellow believers is time spent with the Lord. Time spent with the body of Christ. Together as church we pray, we read His word, we sing our praise, our thankfulness to Him. We get involved in the ministry together. Those regular activities, it cultivates intimate relationship and friendship with Christ. That practice, we can translate that similarly in other aspects of our lives. Those regular activities, it cultivates closer relationship. What do you think? The Lord declared in John chapter 15, verse 14 to 17. Let's read this meditatively. You are my friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friend, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The Lord Jesus, the Lord, do you believe that He designated a particular ministry for each of us to excel? Do you believe that? It can be in a congregational church setting, or it could be individual, personal ministry. If ministry involvement is God's plan for you, if this is the plan of God for you, you would sense the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, peaceful joy, peaceful gladness, joyful peace. And you will praise the Lord and thank Him. You have that enthusiasm in your heart. So sincerely pray. Pray, Lord, how I may excel in my current situation. Do you believe that God had situated you where you are right now? Do you believe that God wants you to be there where you are right now? Or is it your will to be there where you are right now? For you working people, is it God's will for you to be working in that situation? If so, do you enjoy your situation? How enjoyment do you have? How enthusiastic are you? Pray that God will give you that discernment. Lord, help me discern your will. Don't speculate. Don't just, maybe this one, maybe this two, this, that, and those things. Do not boast your superiority. Let's read 15 and 16. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant scheme. All such boasting is evil. See? I will do this, I will do that. That's arrogant scheme. That's boasting. Arrogant boasting. Boasting is self-confidence. I heard somebody said that fighting spirit or boasting is fighting spirit, they say. I don't know. But boasting is self-confidence with superiority complex. Superiority complex. What? Yes, it is. It's considered arrogant and foolishness to the Lord. It's arrogant foolishness to the Lord to boast of what you can do. To boast in self-confidence. It's superiority complex. Boasting was very common in the first century and in the present generation. Why is self-confidence arrogant foolishness to the Lord? Why is that? Why is self-confidence arrogant foolishness in the Lord? Self-confidence is confidence in the self, right? If you say self-confidence, you have confidence in yourself, right? People would use it, I have self-confidence. They want to motivate themselves and keep on. Self-confidence, it implies independence from the Lord. Self-confidence means they don't want to depend upon the Lord. So if a person is confident in human ability, in his self-effort, that person won't seek help because he had already confidence in the self. They won't seek help from the Lord or from others. It is boasting. And boasting is arrogant self-confidence that implies superiority complex. How is that? How is arrogance superiority complex? Superiority complex, you sense that, you feel that you do not need outside source. You do not need God. Self-confidence relies upon self-ability, self-effort. It feels superior over effort from God or others. It implies, if you are not superior to the help of God, why would you not ask God? Unless you are foolish not to ask for help. So it's foolishness, arrogance, to have that self-confidence. Self-confidence rely upon self-ability. Self-confidence is superiority complex of arrogant boasting, which is considered evil. Now you may ask, so how do I know if it is self-confidence or I am relying upon the Lord? You know it when you have that enthusiasm. You know that it is the Lord who enables you to do such and such. God does not appreciate arrogant boasting. He doesn't. It says in Psalm 119, verse 21, you rebuke the arrogant who are accursed. those who stray from your command. Now, that is something else. Remember that the arrogant are accursed. They are already cursed. If you sense that arrogance in yourself, immediately ask the Lord, Lord, remove this from me. You have already, the Lord had already declared curse for arrogance. Another term for rebuke, you rebuke the arrogant. The other term for rebuke is punish. Punish. You punish the arrogant who are accursed. There is a punishment curse to the arrogant. And arrogant stray from godly instruction. They don't follow godly instruction. Why do they need? Because they have that self-confidence. Certainly, we cannot always obey the Lord. We say that, we claim that, we know that. But by faith, when we know that we cannot obey the Lord, we seek the help of Christ to obey Him. Lord, I cannot always obey you. So how? When we plan our activities, even when we are planning, don't just start, this is my plan, and then, Lord, bless my plan. No, that should not be. Even if you have that idea in your mind, Lord, I pray to give me the right decision. Which plan you want me to do? Even planning for your anniversaries, even planning for your birthdays, even planning for your any celebration. We pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Why? Why do we need to pray even the celebration of birthdays? Because the Lord wants us to thank Him truly in those preparations. If inspired by the Holy Spirit, we have that enthusiasm. Remember that. We have that joyful peace or peaceful gladness. Effort originated from self, it produced arrogance. Now, you know that what you did is comes from the Lord when your response, you have done something successful. And when it is good, you see it, the first thing that comes to mind is, Lord, thank you. If that's the first thing that comes to mind, you know that it's the Lord who enabled you to be successful. But when somebody said, oh, you did great, shakpay. You don't understand that because that's Ilocano, but it says, me, how do you translate that? That's me, something like that. I have a friend, I think he's just watching right now. I have a friend, he is an engineer, and he had this foreman. He's really good, that foreman was really good, and the engineer would usually praise him. Oh, you did good, friend, you did. Oh, I like that. And he would say, that's me. So he would say that. And it's fun to listen to. Maybe it helps him to have that self-confidence. Maybe he had a very low confidence, he wanted to be something like that. I don't know. But remember, you rebuke, God punish the arrogant. God has decreed punishment for arrogance. Arrogance stray from godly instruction. Certainly, we cannot obey the Lord, but by faith in Christ, we can obey. So when you do something, pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Lord, inspire me. Lord, give me that enthusiasm. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, for all who rely on the work of the law are a curse. As it is written, curse is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. What does that mean? We're relying in the work of the law, meaning you want to do something because it is written in the law by your own human effort. Not because you have that enthusiasm of doing it. You want to say that I did this, I did that. That is what it means. And if you do that, you want to be righteous before the Lord on your own human effort. And if you cannot obey one of the commandments of the Lord, you are in trouble. Because it says, cursed is anyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Meaning, if you committed one sin, if you have not obeyed one command, everything you failed to obey. That's tough. Then how can we be obedient to the Lord then? By faith, by His grace. We depend upon the Lord Jesus, not our own human effort. If we obey the commands of the law by human effort, we fail. Many people are trying to be religious. Those religious people try to imitate religious leaders. The righteousness, what the leaders do, they imitate. They imitate their pastor, they imitate their church leaders, they imitate their whatever church or leader that they think they should imitate. And many religious people do that. In the first century, they do that. They rely upon the righteousness, their personal righteousness. Apostle Paul, in the first century, he performed many miracles. And because these Jewish leaders think that if they can follow what Apostle Paul do, they have the same result. When Apostle Paul performed miracles, he would say it in the name of Jesus. And those Jewish people, they rebuke demons in the name of Jesus. They might assume that Jesus' name is magical. If you say the name of Jesus, then there's magic in it. It narrated in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 16. Let's read this narrative. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of that Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Now, they were seven sons, seven men. It's foolish arrogance of the seven son of Sceva. Sceva. Now, if you are reading Hebrew words, Hebrew names, letter C is pronounced K. So Sceva is not Sheva. Seven sons of Sceva, they assume that being sons of Jewish chief priest, they can just command the evil spirit by invoking the name of Jesus whom Apostle Paul preached. It implies their intellectual memory of the message of Apostle Paul. They know the message of Paul. Probably they heard him preach about Jesus. And yet their intellectual knowledge of Jesus did not save them from embarrassing torment from the evil spirit because they did not have faith in Jesus Christ. Here's an insight. Anyone, even evil spirit, can have intellectual knowledge of Jesus. How about you? Do you know Jesus personally, intimately, or just in your head? Make sure that you are inspired and filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ. Make sure that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. In all things that you do, small or great matters, pray that God give you godly wisdom so that you may perform, so that you may function and excel enthusiastically and passionately in your obligation. The things you're responsible, the things you ought to do. Reflect on this. Self-confidence is arrogant boasting, a superiority complex with terrible results. Pray that God help you have firm confidence in Him. Be like a child in faith, like Dylan. She is not scared of you. Look at that. She is very confident that she is safe in this sanctuary. Similarly, that is the faith that Christ wants us to have in Christ. Pray that God help you have that firm confidence that you are safe in the Lord, rather than in the self, in all things you do. Pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Avoid the curse of sin. Avoid the curse of sin. Verse 17 says, let's read. If anyone knows the good they ought to do, doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Can you repeat that? If anyone knows the good they ought to do, doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Now, that is something that we always, almost always, every day, we commit, the sin that we commit. But the context of this statement is to do the will of God. If it is the will of God, do it with his empowerment instead of self-confidence, instead of arrogant boasting in the self-ability. Self-confident, arrogant doesn't realize that seeking help from the Lord is good. They don't know that. They don't know that it is good to ask the Lord for help. Can you accept that? God favors humility. Humility is asking the Lord for His help. Before the Lord, we ask, we pray. When you pray before God, that's already a practical display of your humility before the Lord, not arrogance. Self-confidence is not a product of faith in God. When we sense that arrogance in us, you know that we are not acting in faith in the Lord. Faith in God produces humility. In humility, we have confidence in Christ. We sense like, I cannot do this without God's help. I cannot do this with enthusiasm without God's help. I cannot be successful in this passionately without God's help. That is the humility that is produced by faith. Faith in action, not faith in our ability. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So when you pray, pray earnestly, pray fervently, pray sincerely, pray passionately, pray continually. That continuous asking, holding on to your prayer, the Lord rewards that. If we disregard the good things that we are obligated to do, if we disregard our responsibilities that we have, we ought to do, we also sin against God. We do not only sin against the boss, we do not only sin against parents, we do not only sin against teachers or the government. Anyway, have you paid your tax yet? Now you ought to do. Of course it is also by faith that we accept that reality, that we ought to do what we are obligated to do. It is by faith in Christ that we do good things, we do our responsibilities, we do our obligation that we ought to do. By faith, when we do that, I'm doing this because the Lord is looking at me. That's faith in action. But to disregard, to ignore, to reject that responsibility that we should do, that we ought to do, that we must do, is sin. And it conceives successive sin. Now, you need to pay your tax. You ought to pay your tax. Now, if you miss that paying your tax, what do you do? You do something else so that you can pay the tax. But what you do, it could be sin again. Disregard of obligation, disregard of responsibilities, listen carefully. It results to painful experience. It results to successive sin. King David realized such truth in a very painful way when he disregarded his obligation as king. How could the greatest king disregard his obligation as king? How could he be named as greatest king of Israel if he had disregarded his obligation as king? There was one instance. Let's read that instance in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab, one of the king's men, and Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed, walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now, going to war, it doesn't take just one day, two nights, 3 days. No, it takes months, maybe 6 months. They need to prepare. When they arrive to that place, they wouldn't go to war immediately. No, they need to gain strength because it's tired traveling. They were just walking. War before was just walking. They are not flying in airplanes. The officers are in on horses or chariots, but men, they walk for miles and miles and miles. So upon arriving in the place where they have that war, they have to regain strength. They rest for a while, weeks, months before they plot, they design, they devise plans how they would attack. Did David know that it was his responsibility as king to lead his army and go off to war in springtime? Of course, he knows that. But he was very confident in the capability of his army. Oh, where are you going? Going to the Ammonites? Oh, you can do that. Go ahead, go. You're strong. He was very confident that they can do it. He let them went to war without him. Did King David commit sin in that? He did. It says, can you go up back to verse 1? It says in verse 1, in springtime, at the time when kings go off to war, see? It did not say when soldiers go off to war. It says when kings go off to war. They know that every springtime kings go off to war. It's the responsibility of kings to go off to war. David did not go. Why? He has reason. They can do it without me. But during his unguarded moment, he was relaxing. Springtime, maybe it's early summer after that. Springtime, maybe he didn't go walking in his balcony, maybe in the hot summer. That's when, unguarded moment, relaxing at a peaceful night, refreshing, temptation has just appeared nowhere, and he committed adultery. After that, he planned to cover up his immorality. He devised a scheme for the death of Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. So not doing his obligation, he committed adultery. Committed murder. Well, David asked the Lord for forgiveness later, and God forgave him. His immorality and murderous scheme, they were not erased from biblical records. We have read it. They've been read for generations, 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 generation. Now, if David remembers that in heaven, he would have been crying all day, all night. Oh, no, the Maple Leaf Evangelical Church is reading again my painful experience. But praise God. Everything that may cause you to cry in heaven, the Lord would erase from your memory. That is a good thing. Praise God for that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God would erase from your memory when you reach heaven, the painful memory that you have experienced on earth? Can you believe that? No more tears in heaven. Well, that unpleasant narrative that may have caused spiritual suffering to King David, it might have cost him more than the death of his children. He prayed remorsefully in Psalm chapter 51, verse 11 to 14, so that he recorded this. It says, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach your transgression your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. O God, who you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." Now, if there's anything that may have been causing you to have painful memory, ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit to restore the joy of your salvation. He would sustain you. The Holy Spirit of God help us know which good thing we ought to do. If we disregard our obligation, if we disregard our responsibilities, the thing we ought to do, we sense that guilt in our inmost being, right? It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us so that we might do what we ought to do and avoid committing another sin. That guilty feeling, it can be very miserable. It can cause spiritual and psychological pain and suffering. Well, we cannot be righteous before God when we are self-confident. When self-confidence prevails in us, we are accursed. We cannot be righteous before God. So we should always seek His help. Rely upon the Lord every moment we are awake. But Pastor, I cannot do that. Yes, we cannot because we are limited. So pray also. We should also pray. Lord, help me pray. Remind me to pray. And ask you to remind me to pray. Normally, I do that. I did that. I almost always do that every night. Every night, I pray, Lord, don't allow me to go to sleep without thanking you for what you have done today or in the past. Indeed, whenever I feel like I'm not sleeping, I cannot go to sleep, I start praying, thanking God. And then I did not yet say amen to my prayer, and I'm snoring, according to my wife. I don't hear me snoring. Sometimes I snore and I wake up myself snoring. Do that. Pray that God help you pray. Pray that God remind you to pray, God would remind you to pray. Lord, I pray to remind me to pray so that I would pray. So even when seeking help from God, we should pray that God help us pray for His help. Know that it is good to pray, right? It is? Is it? Is it good? We ought to pray regularly to the Lord. Amen. Let's stand up and let's read meditatively Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Let's read. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Pray that you may have the peace of God. The peace of God that transcends, we do not understand, but it will guard our hearts and minds so that we won't be confused, disturbed in our hearts, so that we have this firm decision. Think about this. What is your situation now? Let's bow down our heads. What is your situation now? Are you a student? Are you enjoying your life as a student? Are you employed? Are you enjoying your life as employee? Are you a business owner? Are you enjoying your business as business owner? Or are you a retiree? Are you enjoying your retirement? As parents, are you enjoying your responsibility as parents? As children, do you enjoy your duty as children? What is it that you struggle and complain the most? Ask the Lord, Lord, help me excel and enjoy that duty, the obligation you have given me. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to fill you and empower you with His Holy Spirit. Ask that He continue to fill you until you sense that enthusiasm in your life, in your heart.